I will mention to you for the last week, a little over a week now, I have been suffering with a cough. It's about gone, but it's still a little tickle, and if it bothers me this morning, you just have to give me the best. I'll do the best I can with it. We were scheduled to preach at Bethlehem last week, but I was coughing so much last Sunday, I knew there was no way for me to speak in the name of the Lord, so I had somebody to fill in for me last week so that I wouldn't have to speak last week. But I've turned to a portion of Scripture found in 2 Peter that we'll want to read and get down to a certain, that down to the to my text, which will be the very last verse of this chapter. And it's the last chapter of the book of 2 Peter, which is the third chapter. And we want to begin there with verse 13 and read down through that and have a few things to say about it. The Scripture says, in beginning at verse 13 of the third chapter of 2 Peter, "Nevertheless, we, according to His good promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." What a great Scripture that is. I hope that describes you, it describes me. I rely on the promises of God. I look to Him and I look for a new heavens and a new earth. I look for something that's better than what we have here on earth. Although the Lord blesses us that we enjoy the eternal life that He's given us, and we enjoy it because of the promises that He's made to us, that we have something to look forward to that's better than the trials and troubles and tribulations that we have here upon this earth. And that's what He's speaking of here. We look for new heavens. We look for a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In other words, a place where all is righteous. It's all the righteousness of God. There'll be no sin to interfere with our lives and to cause us pain and trouble like it does in this life. It'll be a place where righteousness dwelleth. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Well, you might ask, well, if we're sinners, how can we be without spot and without blameless? Because of what He's told us in His Word. We have the imputed righteousness of Christ that brings us before God without spot and without blemish. It's the righteousness of Christ, though. It's not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ that He has imparted and given to us in the new birth. And so we look to Him, and we look to Him in that peace that we have with God through Jesus, and the peace that we have that we are without spot and without blameless before God the Father through what Jesus has done for us and the righteousness that He has imputed unto us. And it says, "And according and an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." In other words, He's saying here, remember that in spite of our sin, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of what we are by nature, God has saved us, and He came to save us, and He accomplished that salvation for sinners on the tree of the cross. Account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. In other words, Paul, wrote to you about this salvation that comes to us from God. And he wrote it to us in his epistles. But it wasn't of Paul, it was of that he was given. Given to him by who? By God himself. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in the which are some things hard to be understood. You know, if we study the scriptures and we're diligent in our study, we'll find things in the scriptures that sometimes are hard to be understood. But yet, in spite of that, we depend upon God to lead us and direct our minds even in those things. And I've said this about reading God's Word. Some people may respond, you tell them to read God's Word, and they say, well, I would read it, but I read it and I don't understand it. Well, read it and don't worry about the parts you don't understand, but do something with the parts you do understand, and you'll be okay. So some things in the scriptures are hard to be understood. He said, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with. Those that are unlearned in the teachings of the scriptures, unlearned in what the scriptures proclaim, they wrestle with the things in the scriptures because they are unlearned, as they do also even the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Their destruction in hell? No, it's their destruction while they live here in this world because of their lack of understanding of what the scriptures teach us about Jesus and what he did and accomplished for us. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And that's something we want to be diligent about and keep from falling from the steadfastness that God has established us in through his word. There's a scripture that said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we don't want to lose our own steadfastness in the word of God. And then my text that I want to take this morning says in verse 18, but this is an instruction to you, child of God, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then after he gives us that instruction to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he says, to him, that is to who? To Christ himself, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that's something that we as God's children should endeavor to do in our lives here upon this earth, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow in grace and knowledge? Well, it doesn't just come by just coming to church and sitting here on Sunday morning and hearing whoever the preacher is preach the word of God. Some of it comes that way. And of course, you know, you may study some scripture during the week and get to church and the Lord will put that scripture on the mind and you'll be wrestling with that scripture, and the Lord will put that scripture on the mind of the man preaching, and you'll get some understanding and you'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it requires some diligence on the part of the child of God to study the Word of God, to read the Word of God, and to go to church regularly and hear the gospel proclaimed by the ministers called of God to proclaim the word of God in spirit and in truth unto you. So we ought to take that instruction and make it our lifelong desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like to do this morning, I'd like to take a look at five different individuals, including one, and then a church who experienced these very instructions in their life, and as a result that they grew in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, became great characters that we can see from the Bible. So we'll take a look at them, and I'll just go over the ones here that we want to look at. We'll look at the prophet Samuel from the Old Testament. The scripture tells us about his growing in the Spirit, his growing in the things of the Lord. We'll see the first primitive Baptist preacher. His name was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, the first primitive Baptist preacher, we'll find a scripture that tells us that he grew in the Spirit, as he ministered and went about doing that God had called him to do, that he indeed grew as he went about preaching. We'll see a scripture that even talks about the man Christ Jesus. You remember Jesus, who was the Son of God, and as the Son of God, he knew all things. He couldn't be taught anything, but as the Son of Man, he was born of a virgin, a baby child. And when Jesus was born as a child, he was just like any other child in the congregation here. He had to learn how to speak the language. He had to learn how to communicate. He had to grow. And there's a scripture that says that from that point to a certain point, he grew in the things of the Lord. And also, we'll see a scripture as Jesus got older and it was time for him to be about his Father's business. And it was time for him to go toward Jerusalem to accomplish that he came here for. That he, even during those years of his life, he grew spiritually and he grew in the grace of God. We'll see that the great apostle Paul, who was an enemy to the church, and God struck him down on the Damascus Road and led him from there to be the greatest of all the apostles. We'll see a scripture that speaks of the Apostle Paul, how he grew in the Spirit, and as he grew in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And lastly this morning, we'll close out with an instruction to a particular church in one of the epistles of the Apostle Paul that admonishes that church for its growth in the Spirit, for its growth in the things of God, its growth in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we want to go back over here into the Old Testament, and we want to take a look at a scripture that talks about the prophet Samuel, and is found in the prophecy of Samuel, 1 Samuel. But first of all, let us get you a little up to date on how it was that this Samuel, this first child, Samuel of a lady whose name was Hannah. And how it was that Samuel was born to Hannah. You see now, Hannah was the wife of a man that had two wives, and he had two wives. His name was Elkanah, and his wife, his name was Hannah. And so with Elkanah's two wives, one wife had children, but Hannah was barren. And Hannah took a lot of trouble from others because she wouldn't bear children. So Hannah went to the priest Eli, and she prayed unto the Lord. She prayed unto the Lord for the Lord to give her a man child. And she promised the Lord. She made a covenant with the Lord that if the Lord would give her a man child, that she would lend him to the Lord. And so the Lord answered Hannah's prayer. Now you can read all of this in the first part of Samuel, and we won't have time to read it all. But basically, it'll tell you that Hannah bore a son, and the first son that she bore, his name was Samuel. And because of her prayer to the Lord, and the Lord hearing and answering her prayer, and giving her a man child, and she made a commitment to the Lord to loan him to the Lord. And how did she do that? Well, every year, this was in the Old Testament, and every year at the feast of the Passover, she would carry Samuel, her son, to the priest, and she'd let him train and learn under the priest whose name was Eli. And so Eli trained Samuel and brought him up into the church. And so Samuel, even from a child, as he was carried every year to the worship of the Lord in Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover, under the care of Eli the priest, he grew. He grew in grace, and he grew in knowledge, and he grew to such a degree that God called Samuel as a prophet. Now, what is a prophet? A prophet is someone who sees the future and tells the future. And if you read the book of Samuel, you'll find Samuel was one that prophesied of things to come, prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. And so because Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, was so diligent in her promise to the Lord to loan him to the Lord, and continuously and constantly carried him so that he would train and learn as she did. Now that's a lesson for us and our children. If we'll train our children in the up in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So we can, it's a lesson here for us to learn about Hannah when she loaned Samuel, her son, to the Lord. Now we want to read some scriptures here that tell us a little bit about Samuel. It says in verse 18 here, 18 of chapter 2, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child." Even as a child, as Samuel was carried to the temple of the Lord under Eli the priest, he ministered before the Lord, even being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah, that's the father of Samuel, and his wife, who was of course Hannah, and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now the scripture tells us that he grew. Now that's that instruction over there in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now in this particular case, even in the Old Testament, when Hannah carried her son to the temple every year at the feast of the Passover, he grew. He grew in grace and in the knowledge of God. And that's what the scripture is telling us here. He said, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now if we'll drop down a little bit into verse 26, we'll see it says this about Samuel. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. So Samuel is a perfect example of someone who grew in grace, in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Luke, where we'll learn about another character, John the Baptist. Now John the Baptist, I always claim to be the first primitive Baptist preacher, because he was the first Baptist preacher, and he went about baptizing in the River Jordan, preaching his doctrine of repentance from sin and salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, John the Baptist was a particular importance to the Lord, because he was appointed to be a child that was born right before Jesus. They grew up practically the same age, but John was born a few months before Jesus. The birth of John is prophesied and told of us in the book of Luke, and we'll find here that John's father, who was Zacharias, he was a priest, and he'd go to the temple, and he was in the temple one day. He was burning incense and all incense and the things that they do under the Old Testament worship service. And one day, as he was in the temple, an angel appeared unto him. And and if you go back and read this, we're not going to read all of it, but I'm just going to give you an overview. Whenever he saw the angel, at first he was afraid of the angel. It was the angel Gabriel that the Lord had sent to Zacharias to tell him what was about to occur. And he told him that his wife, whose name was Elizabeth, was to bear a son. And Zacharias, he put the angel off and said, well, that can't be, because I'm not of age and I'm too old, and my wife's not of age, she's too old to bear a son. And so because he did not believe what the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to him and told him, the Lord made him dumb. In other words, made him where he couldn't speak at all. And so later on, it came to pass that after John the Baptist was actually born, it says, and we'll read about that here in the book of Luke, and it says there was a conflict about what they were going to name the baby. And so it says here, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias, after the name of his mother. Now when they called his name Zacharias, Elizabeth corrected them and said, "Not so, his name shall be called John." And they said, "Well, why would you call him John? No one in your family has been named John, so why would you call him that?" So they went to his father, who had been struck dumb, who couldn't speak, but he took a writing tablet and he wrote, "His name shall be called John." Why did they call him John? Because the angel Gabriel told Zacharias that his wife would bear a son and his name would be John. John the Baptist. Now I can remember one time, I think I might have told you this story one time before. I was over in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they took us on a tour of the city, and we stopped by a church. It was a Catholic church, a building called a church. It was called the John the Baptist Catholic Church. And so I remember asking the guide at the end, "Well, why, if John is the Baptist was a Catholic, why was he called John the Baptist rather than John the Catholic?" And he didn't have an answer to that question. And the reason is because John the Baptist was not a Catholic. John the Baptist was a Baptist. And he went about baptizing in the River Jordan. But here John was born, and they named him John. And if you read down through this, there's some interesting stuff. Before John was born, whenever Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, when the angel came to her in the sixth month of her pregnancy and told her she was with child, and that he would be the Savior, and he would be the one that John the Baptist would be the forerunner for. When John the Baptist heard the good news of the birth of Jesus, he leaped for joy in his mother's womb, which shows us that God has the power even to quicken a young child in his mother's womb before they're what we call born into this world. So John the Baptist was born again in his mother's womb. That's why he leapt for joy at the message that Jesus was to be, of course, born. And now what I wanted to get down to is John the Baptist now was the forerunner of Christ. And as they grew, it says here in the scripture about John the Baptist, from that time when he was a child until he began preaching his doctrine of repentance and baptizing the children of God into the church in the Jordan River, it says it says here, we'll read some of this before this concerning John, and he says the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, 73, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt, and speaking of the child, John the Baptist, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. And what he means there is, you're not saved because you remit, because you repented of your sins, but your sins were remitted by what Jesus did for you. That's what that means. So that's not talking about something you do in order to be born again. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then it says this in the 80th verse of chapter 1 of the book of Luke about John the Baptist. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now here was John in the deserts, and the scripture says he grew in the spirit. He grew and waxed strong in the spirit. An example of one that grows and gains knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as he grew and he came later into his ministry and was baptizing there in the River Jordan, and Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized. And you remember John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Is that the sin of the whole world of Adam's race? No, that's the sin of the whole world that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. That's who John was talking about when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the earth." And when John preached, he didn't just take anybody and everybody that came up to be baptized. They had to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. In other words, they had to show to him that they had been quickened by God and had a heart that caused them to recognize the weight and the burden of sin in their life and wanted to repent from those sins. And so here we see John the Baptist indeed grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we want to turn over to Jesus. Jesus himself. Now I said earlier that Jesus was two distinct characters about Jesus. First of all, he was the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he'd always existed. But the second part, he was the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he took upon himself a body of flesh in which he was born as a baby in Bethlehem of Judea. And when Jesus was born in that manger in Bethlehem of Judea, they did for him just like they did all Jewish children. On the eighth day, they circumcised Jesus. And this occurred, we'll find also in the book of Luke, and there was a man named Simeon that performed this exercise on Jesus and performed this exercise to circumcise him on the eighth day. And we'll see it here in the book of Luke. We'll begin at verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and there was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law," which was what? To have him circumcised on the eighth day. "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel.'" So here Jesus was circumcised, and Simeon held him up and he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." What did he mean by "has seen thy salvation"? He seen Jesus, the Messiah, the one that came down to this earth to redeem Israel, all that God the Father gave to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. And from that day forward, it says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken of against. Yea, a sword shall pierce the thoughts of many hearts, be revealed. And he said, and he goes on down here, and he says, from that day forward, it says this about what Jesus experienced from the time he was circumcised the eighth day until he was 12 years old. It says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So here, even the man Christ Jesus, from a child, experienced growth in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if we read on down, we'll find here that Jesus, when he was 12 years old, now Joseph and Mary every year went from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem to the feast of the Passover, and they went every year, and they'd gone this particular year when Jesus was 12 years old. And so after the feast of the Passover was over, and they were headed back to Nazareth, where they were from, they noticed that Jesus, they thought he was with some of the other folks. They noticed he was missing, so they went back. They found Jesus sitting in the halls with the most educated religious leaders of the day, and he astounded them with his doctrine and with his speech. And this man Jesus, as he spoke these things to them, whenever his mother and father, who noticed him missing, they'd gone 3 days' journey toward Nazareth, and then turned and went back to Jerusalem to find him. And when they found him, they said, why have you dealt with us thus? We've been searching for you. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now from that point right there, when Jesus was speaking in the synagogues to the most religious leaders of that day and astonishing them with his speech, from that day until the day he began his public ministry, and at 12 years old, he went back and was still under the home and house of Joseph and Mary, working with his father as a carpenter. But through that time, Jesus grew in grace, and it tells us this in this scripture. He says, how is it that you sought me? Must you know not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down and with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Then in verse 52 it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. He was growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord God the Father. And he grew that way until it came his time to lay down his life in Jerusalem. Yes, even the man Christ Jesus grew in grace. We saw how as a baby, he grew from the time he was circumcised till he was 12. He grew in grace and knowledge from the time he's 12 to the time that he began his public ministry. He grew in grace and in knowledge. Now, one other character that we'll look at this morning that the scripture tells us grew in grace was the great Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an unusual character in the fact that he was indeed at one point an enemy to the church. He went about capturing people and putting them in jail, and he was doing all he could to destroy any that taught anything about Jesus. But one day he was on the way to Damascus to lock him up, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, I believe Jesus changed his heart. I believe Jesus quickened him and gave him life. Now, there'll be some dispute among primitive Baptist preachers as to whether the apostle, whether Saul was regenerated on the road to Damascus or at some time before that. But I personally believe him being an enemy of the church and the things that he was doing against those that were in the church, that God changed his heart and changed his mind on the road to Damascus. Now, after God had struck him down on the road to Damascus, what did the apostle, I believe that was the time, very time that God ordained the apostle Paul as an apostle, because he was not one of the original 12 apostles. When Judas took his life, the church took it upon themselves, and I believe they made a mistake by ordaining an apostle to replace Judas, but that wasn't who God had in mind. He had Saul, the one that was destroying the church, the most unlikely candidate that God would have chosen to be the apostle. And so God ordained him also here on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul as a matter of fact, before this he was called Saul, but after he was ordained and struck down on the road to Damascus, he became Paul the Apostle. Now, when Paul was struck down, what did he need at that point? Well, God had given him life. God had ordained him an apostle. What else did he need? He needed the gospel. He needed the gospel to be preached unto him. You mean the great apostle Paul had to have the gospel preached to him? Yes, he did. And God appointed one. His name was Ananias. We'll see it here in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him saith the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. See, he tried to give Ananias some comfort when he told him, he prayeth. Well, now an alien sinner doesn't pray. So that's an evidence right there that he must be a child of God. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Now here it was, Paul had seen the vision. He'd seen something. He saw a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You see, the Apostle Paul had scales put on his eyes and he couldn't see. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done unto the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest hath sent to me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. There was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And from that point on, the Apostle Paul became from Saul to the Apostle Paul. And he became, in my opinion, the greatest of all the apostles. And he penned and wrote, by God's inspiration, the majority of the New Testament scriptures. And so the Apostle Paul became a great man of God. But what I wanted you to see in this, after he had gone through all of that, the Lord had struck him down on the Damascus Road, and Ananias had gone in and preached the gospel to him and baptized him into the church of Jesus Christ. After all of that, he began to preach that Christ was the Messiah. And there's some that didn't want to receive him. But Barnabas took him and brought him into the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out in Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Now the Apostle Paul went about here doing these things, but what I wanted you to see was in verse 22 where he said, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that he was very Christ. In other words, Paul increased in knowledge, increased in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he went about and he preached Jesus, preached that he was the Messiah, preached that he was indeed the one that should come to redeem Israel and to be the Messiah and the Savior of God's people. Yes, Paul the Apostle increased in knowledge from that time forward as he served the Lord throughout the days of his life, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and penning scriptures by God's inspiration as he did so. Now, in closing out this morning, I want to look at one other example here in this particular one, it's many that grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. And this scripture could apply to us here at Macedonia this morning, because the Apostle Paul, writing here to the church at Thessalonica, he encouraged them in their work and in their service to the Savior. And so, but the what he encouraged them in is the fact that, as our text said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was evidence that they were in fact doing that at Thessalonica. Chapter 1 of the second book of the Thessalonians, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church at Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Hear that again. That your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Here was a church that grew in the knowledge and the peace and grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations that ye endure, that which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Going back over here now to our text, it says, as we read down here, how he said that we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, that we see these things because they're included in God's word. Paul taught them to us through his epistles and his preaching. And his examples that he set, how that salvation was the long suffering of God was salvation. That salvation came to us from God and by His grace, even as Paul preached and taught and wrote in his epistles, and all these things. Beware lest we hold fast to our steadfastness and not let these things slip, but let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we saw those examples, how the prophet Samuel, his mother carried him to the temple every year, and he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And we saw John the Baptist, the first Baptist preacher, how it was after he was born, he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preparing him for the ministry that was set before him as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We saw the child Jesus as he was circumcised on the eighth day. The scripture says of him, from that day as a child, he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And then we saw later as Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem as he was 12 years old, and he sat among the leaders of the church of that day and astonished them with his preaching and with his speech, even as a child of 12 years old. And from that day until he grew into his public ministry, when he finished the work that God the Father had given him to do, he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who was Saul, an enemy of the church, struck down on Damascus Road, but later on, from that point on, as he ministered unto the churches and wrote these epistles by God's inspiration, he grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the church at Thessalonica was commended in the very first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, how it was that they grew in the Spirit, grew in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything else out of what I said this morning, each individual here has a responsibility to read God's Word, to study God's Word, to listen to the preaching that you hear from the various preachers that come before you into this stand, and to grow together in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that as you raise them, they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer.